This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Aidan Dunphy. Now, over the weekend, a really unpleasant row has broken out between the UK in the person of Lord David Frost, who is their Brexit negotiator, and the EU, and indeed the Irish government has been drawn into it, well, central to it, really. On Saturday night at 22 minutes past 11, Simon Coveney, our Minister for Foreign Affairs, was tweeting about the behaviour of the British government, their seeming intention to damage the agreement, the Northern Ireland Protocol, which is part of the Brexit agreement that they signed in 2019. There is also, for the EU, a massive problem looming in the defiance of Poland, which claims that its constitution overrules the EU constitution, and indeed the Hungarians have also been down that road, and there is a serious crisis, it seems to me, looming. But to find out the situation in Brussels, we're joined now by Naomi O'Leary, the Irish Times EU correspondent. Naomi, at first, if we can deal with this crisis, Lord Frost, who is Johnson's representative in the Brexit negotiations, is going to give a speech in Lisbon today in which he's going to reject proposals that the EU haven't made yet but are going to announce, I think it's tomorrow in Brussels. This has the makings, it seems, of a very serious row, with the British threatening to trigger Article 16 of the protocol, which is the disputes mechanism.
Yeah, from everything that we're given to understand, when Lord David Frost gives his speech today, he'll strike a tough line, and the timing of it is on the eve of when the European Commission was going to unveil suggestions for how to ease the implementation of the protocol, Northern Ireland special arrangements, including concessions on things like food checks, which is the most, I suppose, the flagship issue. It's been dubbed the sausage war because chilled meats, non-frozen meats, aren't able to move into the single market from outside of it. So this had become a big issue and something that had been seized upon by Downing Street as a problem. So as the EU was readying to give concessions on that, they announced this speech by Lord Frost, with indications from the British papers that are close to the Boris Johnson administration that they are readying to essentially say that these are not enough, say whatever concessions are given are not enough unless the EU cedes the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice over Northern Ireland. And this is something that the British government knows the EU can't concede, because all EU law, the final say on all EU law, is the European Court of Justice. And it has to be that way in order to ensure legal coherence in all different parts of the EU, so that the same law applies in the same way in Poland as it does in France. Without that, there's no legal coherence. There is no single market. And so given that Northern Ireland is kept in line with the single market, the ECJ is ultimately the authority on the regulations that apply there. Yes. So it's something that can't be conceded.
No, and the European Court of Justice has to protect the single market wherever it operates. The feeling in Britain, and by many observers, and the feeling, it appears, of the Irish government and the European Union, is that the British are going to, they are obviously, they have chaotic problems of their own with energy, with the shortage of labour in various fields, heavy goods, vehicles, drivers, but also elsewhere, that they're going to blame all of this on the European Union, and that really Frost's job is to be a bother boy, to muddy the waters, and that we will be here, collateral damage. Is that view shared in Brussels? And if that is the British line, is there much we can do about it, Naomi? Because in the end, if they refuse to play ball and to honour the agreement they signed, we're going to find ourselves in this country erecting a border between North and South to protect the single market.
I think that anything like that is a very far way off. But what there is in Brussels is tremendous weariness, as well as, I suppose, a resignation to the fact that this is the nature of the British government that they're dealing with.
Yes.
This is a tactic that London has used again and again, is to be unpredictable, to always up the ante, to act in an unpredictable way, and sometimes a slightly obscure way, so that it leaves others' counterparts asking, what is their true motive? Just like we heard Simon Coveney, the foreign minister, asking,
yes,
do they not want to resolve this conflict? Because why else would they be raising something that they know can't be conceded? This kind of speculation about what is the other camp doing, kind of wrong foots, it makes it difficult to react. And I think that the British government has found that a powerful tool to try and extract concessions. That's what it's trying to do. It's trying to extract greater concessions. This isn't the only front of conflict with the EU. There's also a front of conflict with the French overfishing. Britain has granted very, very few French fishing licenses to French boats that would have traditionally fished around Jersey. And this is a big point of contention and a sensitive political issue in France. Negotiations have also just started over Gibraltar, which is obviously a massively sensitive issue for Spain.
Yes.
So if you can, I think there can be links between these different files. The EU would like to keep them separate, but I think that Britain sees negotiating and bargaining chips and will take them wherever it can.
Yeah, and it's a massive distraction. And in terms of responsibility for the mess that that country is in, it's handy to have the EU to blame. And it's particularly handy to have the European Court of Justice to blame, because they never liked that idea anyway. They regarded it as infringing their sovereignty.
I think, you know, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson has built his career on conflict with the EU,
yes,
and EU bashing, and it's worked spectacularly well for,
yes,
him, whether he was, you know, my predecessor as a Europe correspondent working,
yes,
for the Daily Telegraph and talking about bendy bananas and stuff like that in his stories, and whether it was winning elections, getting massive vote majorities in Parliament. It's all done on the back. It's been fueled by conflict with the EU. And,
yes,
so it's worked well for him so far. So why would he stop?
Have the EU got the will, the political will, and the power to win a war with the UK?
What we're talking about, not a, like a war of arms, but the
next step, I think,
is a trade war.
Yes.
And yeah, the EU does have the power to win a trade war. The problem with trade wars is they're actually bad for both sides.
Yes.
Which is why generally people try to avoid them. But they do happen. But what we're looking at here is two jurisdictions that are just completely different in size.
Just to look at another, to lay aside our own situation for the moment and look at the other major issue that seems to be very serious for the European Union and the Commission. This is the defiance of Poland, as well as Hungary, of course. But the Poles, in their constitutional court, have said that their constitutional laws override the EU and that they have the power to reject demands from the European Union, and that it's perfectly okay to do so. And they cite other countries, Germany and Italy among them, who have done something similar, that said that the EU's writ does not run to their own country, to laws within their own country. This is, of course, Poland going the way of Hungary before them in basically not believing in the values of the European Union or indeed observing them.
Yeah, this is an escalation in a long-running conflict. The ECJ has ruled that the Polish government's reforms to its judicial system have removed judicial independence. So basically, they politically stacked the courts. And this is an enormous concern for democracy. If you can't have predictable, fair rulings, and courts are politically appointed and are under the sway of a particular political jurisdiction, governmental jurisdiction, then it's an enormous rule of law problem. And this has been escalated by the Polish government, which initiated this process. So asked its constitutional court to rule on this issue about supremacy of the ECJ rulings and whether Poland had to obey them. And the constitutional court, which, you know, is considered to be politically stacked, came out with what the government wanted, which was a ruling that Poland did not have to follow what the ECJ said. ECJ says, and that aspects of European laws and European treaties are incompatible with Polish constitutional law. Now, as I was saying earlier, the legal coherence in the EU relies on the ultimate authority of the ECJ over matters of EU law. There's obviously domestic law. EU law doesn't cover everything. You know, member states still have their own national legal systems, but over the areas of shared competence where member states have agreed to follow EU common regulations in some areas, which is what being part of the single market means, on those areas, the ultimate authority is the ECJ, so that there is legal coherence throughout the bloc and predictability for citizens and businesses. This is something that we have seen prior challenges. You mentioned Germany. There was a challenge from Germany on this, but it wasn't of the same order. It wasn't initiated by the German government. This was initiated by the Polish government. And it's also this ruling is much more far-reaching. So it brings to a cliff edge this dispute with Poland. From what we understand, the European Commission is readying a response. And there's a couple of different responses that can be given. But most likely what we're going to see is some sort of withholding of cash from Poland, I would imagine.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Now, the Hungarians basically have an authoritarian society now. Viktor Orban, the prime minister, has been, you know, on the march for a very long time, talking about 10, 15 years. He was out of power for a while. He's back in power now. They're not really observing any of the features of a democracy. There's no free press, or very little. The judiciary are their own people, and they are seriously discriminating against gay people, and they are also, in terms of immigration and indeed their worldview, arguably racist. How can the European Union expect us to be in an alliance with Viktor Orban's Hungary? And do they propose any sanctions, or indeed can they can't do anything, because you need unanimity, don't you, to pass any sanction or indeed to challenge any law? And while there's two countries, in this case Poland and Hungary, they can deny the EU the unanimity it needs to punish either of them.
They have protected each other.
Yeah.
On what's called the Article 7 procedure, which is a member state can actually be suspended from the EU. But as you say, you need unanimity from the other member states to do that. And Hungary and Poland give each other support, so that there can't be unanimity in that. There are other sanctions that are available that just need a qualified majority. But because of disagreement among the ruling governments of the 27 member states, those processes have just been stalled. So in the absence of that, there have been demands for this problem to be tackled in a different way. So now a new rule has come in where money can be withheld from member states if there are concerns over the rule of law. It's not as broadly worded as its supporters wanted it to be. It's linked to misuse of budget funds and protecting the EU's budget. And it hasn't been tested yet, but I expect that we will be about to see it tested, probably. Hungary and Poland are actually, as we speak, challenging this new law in the European Court of Justice, which shows that they do recognise the European Court of Justice when it suits them.
Yes,
but so they're actually...
They're not recognisably liberal democracies. I mean, the Hungarians have no intention. They're not moving in the direction of the rest of us. They're moving in the other direction, and it's rather sinister.
I think that there'd be broad agreement with you on that. It's something that bothers many people in the EU. One of the, I suppose, a way to understand why, even though there is an authoritarian government in Hungary and it's no longer classified as a democracy, why do other member states continue to work with it? And in other matters, EU affairs, why do they continue to just proceed as though nothing's happening? The way that the EU works is that member states don't agree on everything. They're all really different countries. And there's this constant need for them to work together on the areas in which they do agree and find compromise. And where there are disagreements, then there tend not to be out-and-out conflicts about them. They tend to avoid brinkmanship and conflict because it's about cooperating on the areas of common interest where there is agreement. So even though there's this big conflict with Hungary and Poland, you'll still see alliances on other matters. You saw, for example, in Ireland's case, Hungary was a really good ally to Ireland in many of the Brexit things. So that's just an example of like how business continues. But I do think that we will see a showdown on EU funds, because there's a new law there's a new rule that's just been introduced. And there's ever more political pressure for this to happen, because Poland has just escalated it and brought it to a cliff edge where it's not possible to continue as before. And also because there's this question of this massive amount of COVID stimulus funds that is about to be handed out. Also, we've seen that with withholding funds works, because the European Commission held back loads of regional funding that was due for municipalities in Poland that declared LGBT-free zones. They held back that money, and then those zones started to drop that policy. So it worked.
Anyone who's followed Viktor Orban's trajectory and Hungary's under his premiership could not possibly believe that he is going to change anytime soon. The question is, how can the EU remain credible with a member state that is not a democracy?
I think, you know, I don't know.
What are we supposed to do? This is officially one of our allies, and it stands for everything that we are fundamentally against and have fought against. And where is the EU going to, or can it, draw a line and say, you can no longer be an ally of ours while you're doing these terrible things to your people?
Like I said, there was an Article 7 procedure on Hungary and Poland, but it's up to the member state governments to go ahead with that. But remember that these countries have their own domestic politics. There's an opposition in Hungary. There's an opposition in Poland. What we saw this weekend in Poland after this this ruling by its constitutional court, which the opposition in Poland quite like openly calls an attempt to leave the EU by stealth.
Yes,
to
and we saw
Poland
the demonstrations. Yeah, and there were demonstrations.
100,000 people were on the streets. I mean, the polls indicate that support for EU membership in Poland is around 80%. It's overwhelming. And equally in Hungary, you know, it's got high support for EU membership. It's also got a strong opposition as well. And civic society that is, you know, continuing its politics in extremely difficult circumstances. I suppose probably what helped the Orban regime to settle in is the fact that political currents domestically change all the time, and member states try not to overreact when there's a government that they disagree with, because they're going to be different across all of the EU 27. And also because, you know, there just isn't unanimity among the 27 about how to respond.
But there must be unanimity, or needs to be unanimity, among the 27, in Brussels, among the Commission, on free press. You can't have a democracy without free press.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the European Commission has launched a series of... I mean, it's tried to confront Hungary on a number of matters, but it doesn't have the full backup of the 27 member states, is what I'm saying.
So where are we going?
That's where the blockage has been.
Where are we going then as a European Union, as an alliance, with Hungary on board?
I don't know what to tell you, Eamon.
Is anybody aware in Brussels that this poses a fundamental threat to the values that wars were fought for? The freedom, free speech, freedom of association, and of course an independent judiciary in both cases, in fact in the case of Poland and of Hungary. I mean Fine Gael are in the same grouping as Orban's party.
Fidesz, Orban's party, has been kicked out. It's no longer in there anymore. It's not a member.
All right.
But so there was enormous... The fact that it took the European People's Party, which is the group that Fine Gael is in with Fidesz, so long to address that. And that ultimately Fidesz sort of like left on its own will rather than being kicked out.
Right.
Like this was, it was a long running sort of like shame for on the EPP, and particularly for its more liberal members like Fine Gael. But the fact is that, you know, I suppose if it was just Orban and if it was just Fidesz, this would be an easier problem to address. But it's not. Orban has allies. There are lots of like-minded parties throughout member states, not just in the East, but also in the West of Europe. There's also there's a lot of sympathy to Orban in neighboring member states.
Right.
He isn't viewed the same way as you view him everywhere in the EU. That's why there isn't unanimity about the response.
Right. So this is, I suppose, this could be described then, this Hungarian model and this particular politician. This is a trending, in, you could say, in new media terms. This is a political trend now in Europe, across the Union.
All you need to do is look at the French election. At the moment, the build-up to the French presidential election has a series of parties which are competing against each other to be more extreme. Many of them openly praised Poland. Poland has become the new, like, cause célèbre among the French right now because of the ruling of the Constitutional Court.
Our old friend Michel Barnier is turning out to be quite a bit more right-wing than we thought, isn't he?
Whether he really believes what he's saying, I mean, I don't know. But yes, certainly what you can see there is a competition among the French right to pose as hardline on these issues.
Right.
Include, you know, centrist parties as well have gotten involved. And they're competing against each other, and it's rewarded with media coverage. The more hardline you are, the more media coverage you get. So it spirals. It's like a competition. It's like an auction, a bidding war.
Yes.
And you know, an election campaign is one thing, and what policies are actually enacted are another. So whether or not this will actually, any of this will translate into actual French policies, we'll have to see. But this isn't something that's confined to Hungary. You know, this is something that is represented throughout the EU.
Just a final question before we let go. Naomi, would it be fair to say that there are dramatic shifts ideologically taking place within the EU?
I think that what we've seen is that on certain issues, there has been a hardening, particularly on migration and borders. The kind of EU that we'll see going forward is a more tough one, particularly on borders. So we've seen like hundreds of kilometers of physical fencing being built along the borders of the EU.
Yeah.
And also a new, like a bulked up border force, which is going to be patrolling those. That means there's going to be more issues. Human beings are going to get caught up in this and will be hurt, will be turned back. Vulnerable people are going to suffer. And, you know, this is a huge contrast to, for example, the European criticism of the Trump build a wall thing of a few years ago. That approach has actually been adopted pretty much wholesale throughout the EU, including right up at the top of the Commission. So, you know, that's one area in which the EU has shifted in response to right-wing populist and anti-migration movements. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, the EU is, like I say, what its member states make it to be. And that's one area in which it's changed.
Okay, Naomi, thank you very much for joining us from Brussels. That's Naomi O'Leary, EU correspondent with the Irish Times. We're grateful to Naomi, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about UnitedHealthcare insurance plans at uh1.com.